Wormholes. The universe's magical transporters, connecting any two points in space-time. Once merely speculation, theory, and science fiction. But now, as more people openly examine the paranormal, it's becoming apparent that wormholes do indeed exist. Are they naturally occurring doorways that all can use to travel through? Or are they technological structures exclusive to advanced civilizations, like extraterrestrials? Consider these things and more on this episode of The Supernatural Explorer. Supernatural Explorers, welcome to episode 25, The Skinwalker Ranch Wormhole and the Vibratory Theory of Reality. Who doesn't like wormholes? Whoop! Wormholes. Any conversation I'm having about time travel these days better include wormholes, because wormholes are showing themselves to be a way more realistic way to travel outside of our reality and dimension, without the need for PIM particles or mechanisms for shrinking us way down into the quantum realm, a la how the Avengers kick ass in Endgame. And it seems I can't talk about wormholes these days without mentioning time travel, so I'm curious myself to see where this episode goes. At this point, outlining the show, it was Wednesday noon, and I didn't get assigned for the topic until about 3 hours ago. And I won't do an episode of this show unless I get a sign. I didn't even get my first hint of a sign until last night, Tuesday night. Jen and I were TV surfing for a new series, and I noticed an Amazon Prime movie called The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed. Yeah, I was certainly curious to see what angles the filmmakers would take in covering this topic. I wondered how they would address what seems to be the main connection between the two beings, which to me is the passageway both ETs and Sasquatch use. In listening to other paranormal type podcasts, it does seem that Sasquatch use naturally occurring passageways on the Earth, unless UFOs appear sometime earlier and open one up for them. Witnesses have described seeing these passageways and Sasquatch in physical form walking through them both ways. When these passageways aren't apparent, others report seeing floating orbs or balls of light that Sasquatch materialize from and back into. Quite the magic trick to those of us who don't understand the natural science behind it yet. ETs do, though. And instead of ETs using the natural passageways on the ground that would have them entering on the ground, ETs have found a way to use ones in the air and or create these passageways themselves. Whenever the ETs do this, they seemingly defy the so-called laws of our universe and give us hints to all the amazing science that awaits us. To me, Sasquatch are like tourists that like to find an area, like the forest, camp out, chill out in nature. ETs to me are like tourists that go to an area, like Italy, but instead of just chilling out at an Airbnb in the Chianti region, they want to go see every tourist spot in the country, so they rent or bring a UFO along for the ride, so they can wander about freely. These are my general understandings of ETs, Sasquatch, and the passageways, so I was curious how the Bigfoot alien connection revealed would address these things. But that would have to wait, because Jen isn't into this stuff at all, and we were, as I said, checking out some new shows on Amazon Prime and Netflix. After we watched a few, I was amped to see the next episode of The Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, or SSR, and then bummed that it wasn't on demand yet. So I was like, wow, it's now Tuesday bedtime, and I still had no sign for a Friday show. I decided I might as well queue up that Bigfoot alien movie, and I fell asleep watching it, which I took as a sign in and of itself. So I'm going to revisit that another day because I still want to see how they address this subject. As soon as I woke up Wednesday morning, I sat at the kitchen island with my tea and I watched episode 5 of SSR. And if you haven't guessed it by the title of this episode yet, big spoiler alert on SSR. It was a great episode. The guys continued to talk about the mysterious energy that was coming from a mile above the ranch. That was the area in the sky that they had flown weather balloons and mini rockets into to investigate. The weather balloon just disappeared. The rockets got the attention of a UFO or two that briefly appeared as bright lights in the daytime sky. This episode, Dr. Travis Taylor leads the discussion on a theory of how, while the mysterious energy is concentrated a mile above them, it might actually be coming from somewhere below them. He explained about the basin being shaped like a satellite dish and how it might be transmitting the energy up to a point in the sky, and how all this together might be creating a wormhole. Whoop! Wormhole. I felt like all that was only about 5 minutes into the episode, and I was already loving it. They called in some specialists to get readings as to what might be going on beneath the surface. They discovered there was some anomalous object as little as 8 feet below the surface, as big as 1,000 feet wide, and possibly shaped like a football or a saucer. And this object was centered around the area where most of the high strangeness occurred. And next episode, they're going to go digging for it. Awesome stuff. As I was finishing watching SSR this morning, Jen asked me what I was just doing. I told her I watched SSR and nothing more because, frankly, as I said, she's not interested. But she is supportive. How so? She says to me, "Oh, I just texted you something else you might be interested in." So I look at the text from her and it says, "Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman. Have you seen that?" And I was like, "What? You just sent me something about wormholes? Wormholes, whoop, wormholes." So now I had a sign for this show, but what was this show going to be on beyond me just saying wormholes over and over again? Like everything with this show, I waited for it to come to me. So I laid on the couch with my cat and went into my meditative zone with the SSR wormhole on my mind. The first thing that came to my attention was how when I started this podcast, it was Sasquatch focused. And then after about 20 episodes, it naturally found its way back to ETs. That Sasquatch ET movie on Amazon Prime helped me to see that. And then I thought, wait, what if the passageways ETs and UFOs use are wormholes? As they said on SSR, that would certainly explain a lot. I received that realization directly from watching SSR, and it made me wonder how wormholes actually work. And that was the spark I needed for this show. My brain loves a good puzzle. I also like exploring the unifying theory of all things paranormal, supernatural, and spiritual. And wormholes could literally be at the center of it all. I do often wonder what is the next big step in the field of paranormal investigation. And for me, this is it. Understanding wormholes. They obviously do exist, as evidenced by all the anomalous beings that travel through them. So, that's my hypothesis, that they do exist here, now, naturally on Earth. That beings do travel through them. So now to theorize and explore how, so we might learn to do the same. I'm certainly interested in learning that trick. Science does explain how wormholes theoretically work, but I think this needs to be expanded on to better understand it. So let me start with the standard scientific explanation that I see anywhere I look. That's always accompanied with a diagram. If you think of space-time as a flat plane, like a yoga mat, where say from one end to the other is 100 million light years, if you were to fold the mat in half once over itself long ways, the front side of the point that represents here and now would be very close to the front side of what represents 100 million light years away. And the passageway that would allow you to easily travel from one point to the other in virtually no time at all is the wormhole. Now that's a nice visual, but how does that practically work since we can't bend space-time like a yoga mat? To answer that, we need to look at how it seems to work for Sasquatch, ETs, spirits, ghosts, shadow people, fairies, etc., and at least one person. Yes, there is precedence for people traveling through wormholes over areas of high strangeness. I remember hearing about this on a 2017 episode of Paranormal Thoughts podcast on the Bermuda Triangle. Dylan told the story of experienced pilot Bruce Gernon. In 1970, Bruce was flying two passengers from the Bahamas to Florida over the Bermuda Triangle. He soon approached a storm and went to fly above it. He then found himself inside a tunnel in the sky for about 20 seconds. He felt like he was floating more than flying and came out the other side above Florida. Flight control in Miami lost him on the radar near the Bahamas, and then he reappeared on the radar 3 minutes later above Miami. Whether you go by Bruce's time of 20 seconds or the flight control time of 3 minutes, he covered about 100 miles in that time. So he was somehow traveling the equivalent of about 2,000 miles per hour in a plane that does no more than about 200 miles an hour. If I'm understanding the story correctly, this jives with what most of us understand about time travel. As you speed up, relatively speaking, time goes slower for you and faster for those on Earth. And you can say that Bruce and passengers didn't physically speed up because I imagine the G-force involved in accelerating from 200 miles an hour to 2,000 miles an hour would be deadly. So what could have been going on here? And how does this relate to UFOs, Sasquatch, and other paranormal phenomena appearing seemingly out of nowhere? And by the way, I love this story because this is yet another example of a wormhole being in the sky above an area that also has high strangeness on the surface, like what appears to be going on with Skinwalker Ranch. To try and understand all this in wormholes better, it helps here to think of things in terms of vibration, which brings us to the vibratory theory of reality. In short, everything that one experiences as reality happens within a vibratory spectrum that then helps to define the rules of that spectrum. Within the spectrum of our existence, for the sake of simplicity, let's say the lower, slower vibrations are called matter, and the higher, faster vibrations are called light, which we also define as the boundaries of our perceived reality. Within that, many of us believe that nothing can move faster than the speed of light. We take that as a fact, which seems very fast until you look at the expanse of the universe and that ETs are known to come from places that are tens, if not hundreds, of light years away. So even if we knew how to turn ourselves into light or had some technology that temporarily turned us into light, that wouldn't even be fast enough. And then would we be able to reverse the process if we knew how to do that? Again, not that this matters because light is still too slow. The math suggests that there are infinite levels of vibrations in either direction, above or below where our existence lies. So if matter is a lower vibration, energy is a higher vibe, and light higher than that, then it stands to reason that an even higher quality of vibration exists. If energy is matter transcended, and light is energy transcended, then what is light transcended? What is above that? If we are all at the same time comprised of matter and energy and light, then we could also be comprised of these transcendent vibes as well. And one of these transcendent vibes that we know exists is our consciousness, our spirit. Referring back to the CE5 meditations again, and if CE5 sounds new to you, please listen to the prior episodes regarding extraterrestrials. The basis of why the CE5 meditations work is that our consciousness vibes at a level that transcends light and space and time. To put it in perspective, if you compare the speed of matter to the speed of light, light would seem infinitely faster, even though we now know how slow light is within the space-time vibratory spectrum of reality. Likewise, if you mathematically understood the possibility of infinite vibrations, then you can understand how the speed of consciousness could be infinitely faster than the speed of light, or how consciousness is light transcended. Call consciousness spirit, and those who have had near-death experiences can attest to the fact that they traveled and existed on that realm of vibration in spirit. Perhaps remote viewers tap into the same vibe. And experienced meditators can also attest to feeling their conscious spirit as expansive as the universe itself, being everywhere and nowhere at once, of being in the body 1 second and seeing the entire universe before them the next. I've experienced this before. Since our dimension cannot fathom something beyond the speed of light, we come up with the wormhole visual to help explain things. But if as you increase in vibration, you do indeed become more everywhere and nowhere at once, even exponentially more so than light, then you can theoretically rematerialize at any point in space-time that you refocused on with or without assistive technology. Upon thinking about pilot Bruce Gernon and his wormhole story, and that he felt like he was floating more than flying, I imagine the technology that elevated the vibration of him, his passengers, and his plane came from what lies beneath the Bermuda Triangle. It was a high enough vibration where they still maintained their physicality, but low enough that they did not turn to energy or light and maybe spontaneously combust. Who knows? They didn't, after all, approach the speed of light, but did transform in some way that the G-force of acceleration did not seem to affect them or didn't even exist. ETs and UFOs and some Sasquatch do seem to have the ability to transcend light, either naturally or with technology, and to go from invisible to semi-visible to light to energy to matter and back again. It seems far-fetched, but can be understood theoretically. And on Earth, there are places where people and things are elevated, where they disappear and never return, like boats and planes in the Bermuda Triangle, and weather balloons in the sky above Skinwalker Ranch. To travel through these doorways, these wormholes, that seem to traverse light years like they are mere miles, it seems one would need to have the ability to fully go from matter to energy to light to conscious spirit and back again. And there seems to be two natural keys or gatekeepers in allowing one to traverse these paths. On one hand, one either needs to possess the conscious spiritual development to transcend and return to physical states, as the Sasquatch have done. On the other hand, one needs to possess the technological development to safely and successfully raise and lower their vibrations, as well as the vibes of their transport vehicles, as the ETs have done. Or, at the very beginning steps, one may stay as they are, physically and otherwise, but use their conscious spirits to travel. Then they can have a peek at the other vibratory realms and perhaps partly materialize within the vibe they are visiting, the way remote viewers, astral projectors, ghosts, spirits, and shadow people seem to do. And once we learn to transcend our human-imposed limits of space and time, who's to say where we could go, here or there, forward or backward? There are beings visiting here that possess the ability and are thereby able to teach those vibratory ways to others. I, for one, am online to learn, and as I do, I will share more. How can I or anyone learn from these transcendent masters? By reaching out to them with our current mode of transportation, our conscious spirits, which can travel at will and are seemingly only limited by our own imaginations. Dream big, explorers, and see where it leads you. Till next time, everyone. Peace.